Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Right now we are in a series of messages entitled Tales from the End. Tales from the End. And if you've been here over the last few weeks, you have heard some awesome stories from some amazing people right here in our church. And their stories have been based around this one concept of how the grace of God and the love of this community has transformed their lives. And you're going to hear another amazing video story today as well. And you may be thinking right now, Tales from the End. Why did we pick that title? Tales from the End. What's that all about? Well, here at North Point, we believe that the church is meant to be an inn at the crossroads of life. And in biblical times, inns were strategically located in places of high traffic, places of potential danger. And they were there for safety and for security so that people could be protected. And that's what we believe the church is all about. We believe that we are strategically placed right here to be a place of refuge, that we might be the end. And you say, well, where do you get that? Well, we get that from a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 10. We're going to go and read that story again this morning. This is kind of our core for this series of messages. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30, says, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan. Remember, Samaritans were looked down upon in the Jewish community. They were not to have relationship with them, do business with them. They were the outcast. And then a despised Samaritan, Jesus tells in his story, came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I am here." Today, I want to speak to you for just a few moments on the subject of the family business, the family business. Let's pray. Father, in the next few moments, God, we ask that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody in the room said, amen. Hey, there are 2 things that we need to be constantly reminded of from this story. And the first is this: we need the end. You can't ever get past the fact that you are in desperate need of the end. You are in desperate need of the ultimate good Samaritan, which is Jesus, who came and rescued you and saved you and redeemed you and picked you up. But then Jesus carried you and put you into relationship with other Jesus followers who could disciple you, teach you, encourage you, and help you along this journey. And so we can never forget we need the end. But here's the second thing that we need to be reminded of from the story, and it is this: the end needs us. The first is that we need the end, but the second thing is that the end needs us. The end needs workers. The inn needs people to man the desk. The inn needs people who will open the door and give a warm welcome. Yes, we need the inn, but the inn also needs us. And a few weeks ago, I talked to you about inn seekers to inn keepers. And that's always the goal, because there's a moment where we are desperately seeking the inn. We need healing. We need hope. We need peace. We need salvation. We need Jesus. We need the inn, but there's a moment where we begin to transition from not just being an inn seeker, although we will always be seeking those things. We don't just stay an inn seeker. We also become an inn keeper, where we begin working in the family business. You know, several months ago, we were talking with our children, and this was before Jacob was born. Jacob is our fourth. If you're not familiar, me and Destiny, we have four kids. Carolina Lee is 8 years old. Julietta is 5. Ella is 3. And Jacob is 6 months old. And before Jacob was born, we were asking all of our girls, what do you want Jacob to be? You want him to be a boy? What do you want the baby to be? Obviously, we didn't know then. What do you want the baby to be? You want the baby to be a boy or a girl? You want a brother or you sister? And Carolina Lee was 7 years old at this time. And Carolina Lee says, I want a brother. And so we asked her, well, Carolina, why do you want a brother? And she says, well, I've already raised two girls, so I want to know what it's like to raise a boy. And Destiny says, you raised two girls. She said, I raised two girls. And Carolina says, well, you did help a little bit. See, at 7 years old, Carolina Lee has already assumed, to the best of her ability, she has already assumed ownership in the house. And you know, that's what the inn really needs. It needs people who will show up, people who assume ownership, and people who take responsibility. That's what the inn always needs. The inn needs people that say, I am here to carry out the house habits. You see, here at North Point, we have 12 house habits that lead us and guide us in everything that we do. And just a few of them are: we lean in, we love big, we give generously, we stay on mission. And they all start with we, which implies I am not alone. Yes, I have to do my part, but I'm not doing it by myself. We stay on mission. We love big. We lean into the problems and the trouble of society. It is all about us doing it together. It all starts with we, because we all take ownership and we all take responsibility. Whenever you think about the inn, whenever you think about the church, I want you to think about the inn this way. The inn is family owned and operated. When you think about the inn, I want you to think it is family owned and operated. The Father, God the Father, owns the inn, and his sons and daughters man the inn. God the Father owns the inn. He is the owner of the inn, but his sons and daughters are the one that man the inn. And because the inn is family owned and operated, the inn should always feel like family. Because it's family owned and operated, the inn should always feel like family. Let me even clarify that a little bit further. It should feel like family, like what family was meant to be. Maybe not the family that you grew up in, because some of us did not grow up in the best families. Our families did not feel like the family that God intended. And so whenever people come to the inn, what they should experience, maybe even for the first time in their life, what they would verbally say, this feels like family. Now, all of us in this room have to realize we all have two families. We all have the family of origin, which is the family you were born into, and then you have your family of choice, and that's the family that you choose to do life with. Now, nobody in this room can change their family of origin. You were born, you have a mother, you have a father. There is nothing you can do today to change that. You have a family of origin, but you have a family of choice, and you have a lot of power over your family of choice. Who you choose to do life with is your choice every single day. And so there's this family of origin, there's family of choice. And Jesus kind of speaks to this in Mark chapter 3 in verse 32. It says that there was a crowd sitting around Jesus. And then someone says, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. And Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Now, let's just be clear. Jesus did not have dementia. Jesus did not have a concussion and all of a sudden forgot, I don't know who my mother and my brother. No. Jesus is making a point here. Jesus knew who his mother was. Jesus knew who his brothers were, but Jesus is making a point about they are not the only family I have because I also have a family of choice. They are my family of origin. I know who they are, but I want you to understand that I also have a family of choice, and that family of choice is everyone who chooses to live their life the way that God intended for them to live it. Those who want to live according to God's way and according to God's will. Jesus says, those people are my mother. Those people are my sisters. Those people are my brothers. Jesus was making a point that we are God's family. And as a member of God's family, we must attend to the family business. Being a son and a daughter of God means that we must attend to the family's business. We must commit our lives to taking care of the people that show up at the end. See, we have to remember, we are innkeepers. We aren't the judge. We aren't the police. We are not the politicians. We are not the editorialists throwing our opinion around everywhere. No, we are the innkeepers. We care for who Jesus died for. That's who we are. We are the innkeepers. We care for who Jesus died for. Now, here's something that I need you to know about the end, is that sometimes whenever you determine, okay, we are the end at the crossroads of life, that is who we are going to be at North Point Community Church. We are the end. Sometimes the end looks more like a triage unit than it does a homey hotel. Because sometimes when people show up at the end, they show up broken and bruised and wounded, frustrated, angry, confused, depressed, disillusioned, with no hope, no peace, and no joy whatsoever. Wow. But you know what? Sometimes people show up and they're just as messed up. They just look different. They show up and they're not broke, busted, and disgusted, but they show up and they're so full of themselves. They show up and pride is just oozing out of them. And selfishness and self-righteousness is governing their lives. They are judgmental, critical, cynical. They are full of answers for humanity, but they aren't extending a hand to help any humans. And they show up. And they show up here at the end. And there are other people that show up at the end, and they show up at the end, and they are so tied up in the web of lies and manipulation. They have been living so long with multiple masks that they don't know what is true, and they don't know who they are anymore. And you see, people show up at the end, and they all show up looking different, but here's what we know. They all show up with issues. And whenever you show up with issues, all of a sudden, the end turns into a triage unit. It turns into an emergency room, and people are trying to pull you out of where you are and trying to pull you into everything that God has. We have to remember, Jesus gave us one clear mission as his followers, and when he was talking to his disciples in John 13, and I would challenge you to always come back to this scripture as you go through life. And as Jesus was talking to his disciples, he says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. This is what he tells them. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus says, Love one another. Now that you could go back in the Old Testament and see that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That'd been around for a long time, but Jesus says, now I'm taking it up a level. Now I'm giving you a new commandment. I'm not telling you love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now I'm taking it up a level. I'm telling you love your neighbor like I love you. Now I'm telling you I want you to love others the way that I have loved the world. You see, this is our mission on this earth. Jesus made it so clear and so plain. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't make it just so the wise could understand it. He didn't make it just so the highly educated could understand it. Jesus said it just so plain and so simple, and he broke it down and he said, here is the challenge and the mission of your life. Love other people the way that I love them. Love other people. That's our mission. You see, that's why we don't stand at the door of the inn with a checklist of qualifications that you need to meet in order to get in. We don't stand there to check the box and make sure you got the right clothes on and make sure you got the right attitude and make sure you got the right background and make sure you can quote 10 scriptures and you did all of your devotions this week and that you belong to come into God's house. No, we don't stand there. Instead, at the end, what we do is we stand on the doorstep and we shout to everybody with arms wide open and we say, hey, we want you to know that you are welcome here. You can come as you are. You belong here in this place. You belong with us. And through that love, people find hope. And through those arms that are wide open, people find healing and they discover family. And through that love, people find God and they experience his grace and they discover his purpose for their lives. And through that love, people go from just seeking the end to now keeping the end. They say, I want to be a part of this. God changed my life, and now I want to be a part of seeing him change somebody else's life. Today, you're going to hear a powerful story of somebody who God brought to this end, and God met them here in this place. And they went from being an inn seeker to an inn keeper. Check out the story.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and this is my story. So I grew up in a non-religious home, and basically, I was different. I was, you know, the taller girl, the stronger girl, you know, the kind of tomboy, but I still wore a dress type of girl. And a lot of the kids that I went to school with totally made fun of me. Basically, they told me that I didn't fit in, I didn't belong. I was big, I was manly, you know, all this horrible stuff, you're ugly, you're this and that. Every negative thing you could possibly think of, they were telling me. And I had this horrible self-esteem and a horrible view about life, and I had no one to tell me that I was worth something, that you know, I belonged and I had a purpose. And because of that, I started trying to find ways to fill that void that I had inside of me. And I started going to this all-ages nightclub. All of a sudden, you know, people are treating me like I'm gorgeous and I'm pretty and you're a great dancer. And yeah, it only lasted a couple hours every Saturday night, but I would sneak out of the house to go there. And the kids there were doing things they shouldn't do. They were doing ecstasy, people were drinking, smoking, and this is teenagers, you know? And I started doing things I shouldn't do to try to fit in. And long story short, I ended up doing some really bad things, and my parents found out about it. And they're like, if you're gonna live in our home, you do what we tell you to do and you follow our rules, and if not, you can get out. And when the argument was over, I left. So I moved to Southern California. That first day I was there, I met this guy. And he was like the knight in shining armor. Coming up to me, he was gorgeous, had a nice car, dressed nice, and he's telling me, oh, you can come live with me. I'll show you how to make all this money. You're so beautiful. You can be a model. You can do all this stuff. you know, I see all this wonderful stuff in you. And I was so naive and so broken and wanting that kind of verification that I was worth something, that I didn't see past what all the red flags. And it turned out that he was a pimp and a human trafficker. And that's what started the whole crazy life that I ended up living until I got here to Shreveport. I was trafficked, and a lot of things happened to me over a vast period of years. I tried to escape the life many times, and my parents and family and the people in the neighborhood where my parents lived, everybody found out, and I couldn't go home. And since I had nobody, it was like me against the world. Now, remember, I still don't have any religion, so I didn't believe I was really worth anything other than what someone would give me for myself. And it was a false belief that, you know, if this man will give me $2,000, God, it must be worth a lot, you know. And eventually I'd end up having some nice cars, a nice apartment, nice clothes, so I thought I was worth something, and then you'd lose it, and you might gain it back or lose it again. Then I'd end up going in and out of jail, and I thought, you know, there's got to be a way to get out of this, but they knew where my parents lived, you know, and they were threatening to kill my family, and you know, if I try to leave, they'll do something to me, and of course, you're being beat all the time and stuff, so you stay. I ended up here in Shreveport on a fluke, and I got arrested for escorting. And when I went to jail, it was almost like, well, what am I going to do? I've been in jail in so long, you know. My life is down, you know, falling down the toilet, and I find out I'm pregnant too. And it's like, well, you don't have anything, you're in jail, you're pregnant, you're on the other side of the country, your family won't talk to you, you have no friends. What are you gonna do, you know? While I was in there, I was talking to some of the women, and they were telling me about this program called Purchased, Not For Sale. And they said, oh, it's kind of like a rehab for prostitutes. And I'm like, what? And they're like, well, it's the place you can go. They'll give you a place to stay. You can have your baby. They'll help you with that. They'll help you with counseling. Basically, they help you become a better person. I was able to get into the program. And within that time period, I found out about NCC through the lady who ran our program, which was Leanne Bussey. And she's like, why don't you guys come to our church? You know, you're required to go to church every Sunday. I'll even get a van to come pick you guys up. We're like, okay. So we come to NCC, and first time I got here, it was kind of awkward because I don't have the best clothes on, and I see all these people that know each other, and all of a sudden all these women were walking up to us that I recognize that taught classes at Purchase. And they're giving us hugs and saying hello and how are you doing? Did you get some coffee? And we'll see you inside. We'll hold a seat for you and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, these people are like really nice, you know? And I came into some of the services and I started realizing the truth about life and the Bible. And the one place that I was scared to go to was church, because I thought that no one would ever forgive me for the stuff that I did, or see who I really was as a person, or want my help to help others. And NCC asked all of that of me. And, you know, I have friends now that I never thought I'd be friends with, women of different ages, backgrounds, men, everybody, that I can call up on the phone and just be like, hey, can I talk? Or, hey, you want to go do something? And people are inviting me to like Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving around their families and hanging out and treating me normal. I'm like, wow, this is so weird, but awesome, you know? And NCC has just been, I don't know, like a whole nother world, but the right one, the one I want my son to grow up in. NCC was that family that I never had, you know, the ones that don't judge you for what you did in your past. And coming here, I had so many epiphanies that maybe life is not just about me. Maybe it's me helping other people. And even though I was in a rehabilitation program for prostitution, and I actually ended up having to go to a homeless shelter after I graduated for a couple months to get into my own apartment, I was still serving with the church, you know, and helping other people, regardless of my situation. And I did that because I realized that no matter where you're at in your life, you can always help someone. And you can be that beacon of light where there's so much darkness. And the community here at NCC gave me that. They gave me that lantern that I didn't know that I could hold to help other people, not just myself. And they gave me hope that my life could be something, that I could mean something, that my legacy wouldn't just be the prostitute. It could be the person that helped change other people's lives as well. And I'll never forget this place for as long as I live, even if I move away. This is the place that changed my entire life, Louisiana, Shreveport, NCC. So I'm just so happy to be able to find the place I've been looking for my whole life and didn't know it existed, and that was here.
This is what Jesus does. This is what Jesus does. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus restores dignity. Jesus gives hope. This is what Jesus does. This is what we get to be a part of. At the end, you get to be a part of seeing people's past forgiven. You get to be a part of seeing people's dignity restored. You get to be a part of seeing people receive hope and begin to move into the purpose of their lives. What an amazing story. I watched it like 19 times this week. And still, I'm sitting on the front row just amazed that I get to be a part of an inn that gets to be a part of a story like that. Just blown away that I get to be a part of that. Hey, but before we pray, I just want to give you three truths about the inn. Three truths about the inn. And I really think that they're going to help you as we move forward in everything that God is calling us to do here. And just real quickly, number one is this: the inn is messy. It's what you need to know about the inn. The inn is messy. Now, it's really good for those that show up messed up, because you feel right at home. You show up messed up and you're like, man, this is the place that I have been looking for all of my life. Because here's what so many people think. Many times people think church is for the good people. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came not for those that have it all together. I came for the sick. Now, I want you to think how messy it is when you're sick. I mean, practically, like how messy it is when you got a stomach virus. It gets messy. How messy it is when you got the flu beside your bed and you're blowing your nose and the tissues are just stacking up on the table. I mean, it gets messy. When you are sick, it gets messy. And whenever we deal with sick people, it's going to get messy. So we don't need to be surprised or disturbed when things get messy in the end. We don't need to be surprised by that, because the inn is always going to be messy. But we got to be careful, because the inn, it's really good when you show up messed up that you're around other people that are messed up, because you feel at home and you feel like there's somebody that understands and there's hope for me and there's a way for me. But we have to be careful. And here's why I say this. Because after you start getting cleaned up and healed up, and after your life starts being made whole, you can begin to look at people that come in with their mess and like saying, we don't need that mess here in the church. We don't need those issues here. No, 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 that's not, we're not dropping down to take care of that. We're not going to get our hands dirty with that. We don't want to deal with that. But now you were so happy whenever you came in messed up, but now all of a sudden that you've gotten healed and you've gotten whole and you've gotten strong and you found your peace and your joy, now that you've got all of that and now the end is messy with other people's junk and we say, well, we don't want to deal with that junk. When you walked through the door, the end was messy. And the end's going to stay messy. Because that's what the end is. The end is messy. Here's the second thing the end is. The end is mazy. The end is mazy. There are no clear directions on how to deal with some situations. There are no 1, 2, 3-step plans to deal with some circumstances. When you start getting into the issues and the challenges of life, sometimes there is no direct and easy path to take. That's why here at North Point we say this is a journey. But sometimes the journey is a maze. Sometimes the journey is a maze. And so don't feel bad like you have to have all of the answers. No, listen, you are the answer. And why do I say you are the answer? Is because when people walk in, we say, I don't exactly know how to deal with this situation, but here's what I can promise you. I will walk with you all the way through the maze, through every twist and every turn. I will hold you by the hand and we will get to the place where you can experience freedom and salvation and healing and restoration and find your purpose. It might not be 1 step, 2 step, 3 step. It might not be ABC. It might not be open the book, chapter 1, 2, and 3. But let me tell you, I'm committed to walking with you all the way to the end. The end is messy and the end is mazy. And I say that to you today. So if today, if you're looking for easy, if you're looking for comfortable, if you are looking for clear and concise and pretty and neat, then the end is probably not the place for you. But if you say today, I want to walk with people through the challenges of life, if you say today, I want to be there for somebody and hold their hand through the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. If today you say, I will do whatever it takes to help people find salvation, to help people find hope and healing and freedom and purpose. If that's what you want, then I can tell you there is no better place for you to be than the end. Because every Sunday, the Good Samaritan, Jesus, is dropping off people at our doorsteps. And they're in some messy situations, similar to Jacqueline. They're in some messy situations. And it's not just going to be, oh, 1, 2, step, 3. Oh, just let me give you a 30-second prayer and put my hand on your forehead and you're going to walk out and everything's going to be okay. Read the book of John and it'll give you all the answers. No, 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 no. I got to walk with you. I got to walk with you. And it's amazing. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, one of the things I love about Jacqueline's story is that when she started coming here, she wouldn't even come into the sanctuary. She would sit outside in the foyer for weeks, months. She wouldn't come into the sanctuary. Now, we can say, well, I mean, we're going, we're picking her up. We're going out there in the van. Why would she come in? Why is she not coming into church? We could have all of those things, or we could understand that everybody's on their journey. And we love you where you are. And if you want to sit out there on the couch for 6 weeks, we're going to encourage you and love you. Because one day, she's going to walk into the sanctuary. And then one day, you're going to be listening to her story. Why? Because we said, hey, we know the end is messy and we're okay with that. We know the end is mazy and we're okay with that. Why? Because number three is this, the end is mighty. The end is mighty on the earth. You see, the end is where God brings his super into your natural. The end is the place where miracles happen. The end is the place where heaven comes to earth. The end is God's plan. God's plan was his family business, and his business is always a good business to be in. So all we have to decide is to say, God, I want to man the end. I want to be a part of the family business. Bring the broken and the bruised and the hurting. Bring the people that are so full of pride and selfishness. Bring the liars and the cheaters and the manipulators. Bring them all into this house. Bring them all, because we know it's going to be messy. We're okay with that. That's what we're signing up for. We know it's going to be a little mazy, and it's going to be a difficult journey getting people to their freedom and to their purpose. We know that. We're okay with that. We're ready to walk the journey. We're ready to go on this maze together. Why? Because we know that the end is mighty. The end is mighty. We believe that the local church, through the power of Christ, is the hope of the world. That's what we believe. And what are we doing here? We're just loving each other the way that Jesus has loved us. We're just loving each other the best we know how. Just loving each other the way that Jesus has loved us. Remember, we all needed the end. Every one of us. We desperately need the end. But the end desperately needs you. It desperately needs you. Jacqueline said, the end gave me a lantern. It wasn't just a light for me. I realized it was a light for others. What she's saying is, I'm not just an end seeker. I want to be an end keeper. Because God changed me, I want to be a part of seeing him change others. Will you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. There are some people here today, and you say, Philip, I'm in that first part that you talked about. I need the end today. I'm broken. I'm bruised. I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Been betrayed, stabbed in the back so many times. My life is not the way I thought it would be. I never thought I would be 42 and divorced twice with kids that I don't ever even get to see. I never thought that would be my life, Philip. I never thought it. Never thought I would have a family of four and be unemployed, and I can't find a job to take care of my family, and I'm dealing with so much stress and so much pressure. I never thought this would be my life. Today, you know, man, you need the end. You know you need the end. Or maybe you've just been so full of yourself all of your life, living life your way. You thought you had all of the answers, but all of a sudden you're coming to this place where you realize you don't know as much as you think you know. You're not as good as you really think you are. And although you've had the answer for everybody else all of your life, you're realizing now that you might not even have the answer for your own self. And you're here today. You're like, Philip, I need the end. I need the Good Samaritan Jesus to come and pick me up. I need the hope and the healing and the restoration that takes place in the end. Maybe today you've lived a life so caught up in so many lies and so much manipulation. Man, you don't know what's true, what's false. You don't know your identity and who you are. And today you say, Philip, I need the end today. I desperately, desperately, desperately need the end. I'm not asking you today if you've believed in God. I'm not asking you, have you prayed a prayer before? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm asking you right now, in this moment of your life, do you need the end? do you need the end? Do you need somebody to bandage up your wounds? Do you need somebody to encourage you and speak strength into your life? Do you need somebody to help you? Is that what you need? Do you need the end? Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Philip, I desperately need the end. I'm not going to ask you to get out in the aisle or to come down to the front of this place, but right there where you are, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you say, Philip, I need the end, I'm going to ask you right now just to lift up your hand to God and say, God, I know that you are speaking to me right now. I need the end. Come on, just lift up your hand right there where you are, just as a sign to yourself and as a sign to God that says, God, I'm admitting right now, I need the end. I need help and healing in my life. You can put your hands down. Now, how many of you would say, Philip, I want to be a part of the end. I want to be a part of the end. I don't want to just be an end seeker. I want to be an end keeper. How many of you would say, Philip, I hear what you're saying. It's messy, and I'm okay with the mess. Philip, you're telling me it's going to get a little mazy. It's not just going to be A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, a clear shot. That's okay. I'm willing to go on the journey with people for them to find what God has in store for them. And you say, I'm willing to deal with the mess, and I'm willing to deal with the maze because I believe that the end is mighty. The power in the name of Jesus that is over the end. It is a powerful name. It is a wonderful name. It is a mighty name. And I believe in the power of that name. And I believe in the power of Christ in me, working through me. I believe that the end is mighty. And today you say, Philip, I want to be a part of manning the end. I want to be a part of the family business. Come on, if that's you right there, I just want you to shoot up your hand and say, Philip, that's me. I want to be a part. I want to do my part. I want to do my part. I want to do my part. I want to man the end. I want to be a part of this family business. I want to be a part of seeing people's lives changed and transformed. I want to be a part of stories like Jacqueline's story. I want to be a part of that. That's what I want to be. I want to work at the end. Put your hands down, everybody, right now. If you'll just repeat this prayer after me. Come on, I want you to say it out loud today. I want you to pray it with some fire and some fervency today. I want you to pray it like you really mean it today. Come on, say this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know I need you today. I need your love and your grace. I need your forgiveness and your power. I believe that you are Lord and you are Savior. And I want to be a part of the family business. I don't want to be just an end seeker. I want to be an end keeper. I want to see lives changed the way that my life has been changed by your grace and the love of your body on this earth. Father, right now I pray for each and every one in this room. God, I thank you for the work that you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. God, I thank you that whenever we need the end, there is always a place available for us. God, that you see us and you care for us and you come and you pick us up, God, and you bandage up our wounds and you speak life over us and you put us in a community that will love us and encourage us and cheer for us and lead us and guide us into everything that you have. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the end. And God, thank you also for the opportunity to be a part of the end. God, we want to keep the end well. We want to continue to do your work on the earth. And God, we believe that the best is yet to come in this city because God, you are working in this city and we believe the end is mighty and we believe that your name has power. And God, we believe that you are still in the business of using people and you are still in the business of changing lives, and we thank you for it and we celebrate it today in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.